morning, church. God bless you all. What a wonderful day. I do love the rain, personally. I was a bit sad that we got the playground all finished off for the week and now it's raining. So that's okay. Enter at your own risk yet again. But at least if you fall, you'll be on some nice squishy rubber, which is pretty cool. Hey, quick personal encouragement for the Baptism in the Holy Spirit class. Can I encourage you? I like to describe the gift like this. It's the gateway to the deeper life with Christ. Jesus said, John 16:7, Jesus said, "It is better that I go so that I can send you the one you need." That's the Holy Spirit. And it's not just going to be a teaching class, it's going to be an experiential class. We're going to, if you want, to pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I encourage you, stick around. If you do not have that gift, the team that are heading off to the Philippines leave tomorrow. Pastor Nikki, we're going to pray for Pastor Nikki and the team in just a minute. But can I encourage you, church, we're sending them. People are paying to go on this mission trip, but also we've put resource into this, and we want to bless the churches that we've partnered with over in the Philippines. There is a great work that is happening over there, and we're privileged to go and just be a part of that. And so I want you to pray, and I want us to pray that there's, yes, safe traveling mercies, and also that the team are healthy and strong, but all that God wants for them to do gets done. That's our prayer. So Heavenly Father, we lift up Pastor Nikki and the team to you right now. God, we are asking that, Lord, your will, your way be done in Jesus' name. Lord, that there would be such a blessed revival, Lord, that people would see you, encounter you. Lord, that the work that you are doing over there, Lord, that would just be added to by this moment. Lord, that more of you would be revealed to the people, Lord, that are being outreached to. God, even ones that are going to come along to some of the events that are, Lord, you know already who's going to be there. And so we just pray a blessing over the church in Philippine. Lord, all that you do, God, it's so good all around the world, and we thank you for that. And so, Lord, go with our team. Lord, we know that you know they're going. You've got something for them to do, and that's what we want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Nikki then won't be coming back for 2.5 months. She's having long service leave, which is super exciting. It's been like over 20 years that Pastor Nikki has worked for Emerge and what was Albany Hills over at the Warner location. And I think it's amazing, her first long service leave. And I hope you are just thoroughly blessed, Pastor Nikki. She was doing a lot of service for the North Brisbane region before I could do a lot of things. So good on you. That is long service, well deserved. And I hope that you're just super blessed by that. And next couple of weeks, Al and Jack and Zach and the team are going to be overseeing Warrenfield, because I also am having 2 weeks off with Yvana. It's going to be super cool. And we're excited to spend some family time together. All right. Let me get straight into part 3 of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is an awesome moment in this sermon. If you have missed part 1 or part 2, you can catch up. If you didn't know, Emerge Church does have a YouTube channel, and you can get the things on Spotify as well. And you can log on. Natalie and Dave and the team just do an amazing job putting that up. And so if you have missed one and you're like, oh, I really want to get that part, you can listen or watch it back. But this is the title. This is the way. This is the way. We are, if you didn't know, that picture right there, that's where they believe Jesus literally stood and preached the Sermon on the Mount. Pretty cool, eh? Week 1, Beatitudes, salt and light. So Jesus introduced to us a kingdom identity. This is who we are. This is the blessed. Blessed are. This is the Beatitudes. And then he doubled down with influence, called us to have salt and light, to have influence in the world around us. And then last week was heart surgery, heart exposing. Jesus got pretty deep. It was pretty awesome. It was quite confronting. And I was thinking about it. I was like, I wonder how everyone went implementing part 2 in their life this week. I was like, I wonder if everyone got all of part 2 down pat. I mean, Jesus Jesus took us through a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. Like there's a lot. We went through it. We covered a lot last week. And I was thinking about it, and I was reminded by a statement that I finished last week with. And I want to start this week with this statement, that there's a lot to do. And one lady actually texted me and goes, Pastor Joe, you brushed over a verse, and I'd like to question you on it, because it says that we must be perfect, like Jesus is perfect. And how do we be perfect? I was like, it's a good question. And praise God. Hey? He makes us perfect. Yeah, he makes us perfect. And so, the statement, just follow Jesus. If you follow Jesus, if you live like he lived, if you love like he loves, if you give like he gives, if you just follow Jesus, I promise you, you are going to be implementing the way. It's just going to happen. And the blessing, the life and the abundant life that comes from following the way, the word of God will not be mocked. It will not return void, it says. And so you can be confident in the reward, the result of following the way. And so that leads us into week three. Week three, this part of the sermon is deeply pastoral. It's caring. It's a part in the Sermon on the Mount where it's comfort. It's comfort to us. Jesus is encouraging us and he's showing us, hey, this is how you live the way. It shows us, the sermon shows us who kingdom people are, how to live as kingdom people, how to trust like kingdom people, and then he finished. Choose. You choose. You choose who you will follow. There is so much gold in the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, you think about it, it's his sermon. Like, this is Jesus' teaching. This is his sermon that he preached. The creator of the universe, like the guy who created that mount, he came and stood on it and introduced to us a way to live. There's a covenant, and Jesus said, well, I have come. There's a new covenant, not with the blood of animals, with his blood, the once for all time sacrifice covenant, the relationship that we've gotten. He invites us in to follow the way. Don't want to fail? Follow the way. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I pray that you would illuminate different things to each and every one of us. God, the things that we need to work on, the things that we need to let go of, the things that you want to refine within us. But God, as a church, as a group, Lord, I pray that you would help us to engage, to follow you, to be blessed. And Lord, for that to overflow, we pray for that today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, let's start. We finished with giving to the poor and needy last week. We're going to start Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Jesus is getting after some stuff in this part of the sermon as well. You know, I could describe this part of, you know, public reward for prayer as, you know, sometimes people like ask you to pray for something about someone else that you probably shouldn't really know about. Like, that's that sort of stuff. Like, that's like prayer for public reward. Like, oh, I know stuff and we need to pray for this person. That's not good. That's not what Jesus is asking us to do in this moment. He's like, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Hallowed be your name. We remind ourselves of who our God is, how big he is, how awesome he is. Because it builds our faith. It makes him look really big. And then the issues we're about to bring before him maybe just can start to look a little bit smaller. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So, prayer. Prayer is relational connection. That's what prayer is. It's not religious performance. It's not a checkbox. Pray today. It's not you have to pray for 1 hour to be a Christian. I mean, I'd put it to you that there's very few times that it's recorded that Jesus prayed for an hour. Like, one time, Garden of Gethsemane, there were seasons where Jesus would have prayed for a lot longer than an hour. But Jesus is inviting us to pray, to start a conversation. Try waking up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Jesus. Start the day." And don't say amen. Right at the end of the day, after you've chatted to him and you've included him in your day, just before you go to sleep, amen. And then go to sleep. Hug your pillow. Get some Z's in. Yeah? See, prayer is not meant to become a chore. Like, if it feels like a chore, that is not the intention of prayer. It's not what God desires. He's not asking us to talk to him because he wants us to be so, like, bored out of our brain. Or he doesn't want us to talk to him because he's like, "Well, you know, I'm just going to put them through it today. And if they don't give me an hour of prayer, then, well, you know, I'm not going to help them." I mean, if you don't hang out with a friend every day, imagine like a really, really good friend too. Like, are they like, "Oh, well, you know, you couldn't call me up yesterday, so hurry up." Like, that is not Jesus. If anything, when you do start talking to Jesus, he's like, "Yes, come on, what's going on? I've been missing. Like, you know how much more we could be doing if you talked and communicated." Like, God desires conversation with us. He wants to talk to us. This should not be something that is difficult to do. This should be something that we enjoy. He wants us to want it. It's like our relationship with our spouses. Like, you know, Ivana, I was hanging out with Zach last night. We were coming home, and we were chatting about life and family, and I was like, man, I love my little family. I just love them so much. I couldn't wait to get home and say hello to Ivana, and I was just like, this is awesome. But like, you think about it, if Ivana has to love me, like, "Ivana, you have to love me," well, I'm not quite sure that's very good. And imagine if that was the relationship that we had with God. It's not that we have to. You don't have to have a relationship with God. You don't have to talk to him. You don't have to love him. You don't have to let him love you. You get to. We get to. Like, it's love because we want to love each other. But if Ivana had to, well, there's no choice anymore. We don't have to. We get to. We get to pray. We get to talk to God. It's something that we should enjoy. Like, just start talking and then worship him. And then just enjoy just thinking about God, chatting about all the things you've got. And then you'll probably think of some things and some people, situations maybe that need some God miracles, and maybe some people, and you can start to pray for them, and you start lifting them up, and you start really getting into it. And then you recognize that there's an attack of the enemy on your life. And so then you get into some warfare prayer, and you just start getting after it. And then it's an hour and a half in, and you go over the coffee machine, and you make a coffee, and you're just enjoying thinking about all the good things that God created for us, and you get back into the next worship song, and you keep praying and just keep enjoying spending that time. And 4.5 hours later, you're like, "Man, I love hanging out with Jesus." That's enjoying our relationship with God because we get to talk to him. Prayer is not meant to be something that is, "Oh man, I better, or I have to, or I should be." It's just talking with Jesus. Like, when you call someone home, it's like, "Hey, do you want to come over? And we're going to have dinner and hang out and, you know, play some games or something," and hang up. And then wonder why you don't know what they want to do. No, it's the same with God. When you talk to God, wait, listen. Listen for the response. Learn his voice. Learn when he drops those thoughts. Learn to know the shepherd's voice. It's a conversation. Sometimes prayer, if we allow it to, can actually cause God to become a genie God in our life. What I mean by that is we engage in praying for our food, but without having conversation with Jesus. We pray for traveling mercies, but yet we didn't take time to talk to God if he actually wanted us to go on that journey. And we slip into this idea where, you know, you might even say, oh, hey, I'll pray for you, but you don't. You're one step away from reducing prayer so much in your life that it will not be effective. Because if you're not lifting the value of what talking to the miracle-working God is in your life, then when you should be praying or you need someone to pray for you, it has been diminished in your life, and so you no longer have faith in it. So when you say you're going to pray for someone, pray for them. Do whatever it takes. Put a reminder in your phone, write something down, or take the moment to just do it there and then if you think you're going to forget. Hey, let's pray right now. Let's bring this before God and let's get after it. Prayer realigns our priorities. Puts God on the throne of our heart. We're not informing God when we pray. He already knows. We're bringing our heart into alignment with his heart. We're coming before the one who can actually do something about it. The temple existed for people to connect with God. Jesus was really passionate about that. Remember the whip he made? He's whipping the animals out and flipping the money changers' tables up. Like, how dare you make my house a den of thieves? It's meant to be a house of prayer. Well, this is now the temple. This is my temple. You got your own temple. But you have a temple. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Talk to him. Engage with the one who is madly in love with you, so much so he has made you perfect. Isn't it cool that when we stand before God, the blood of Jesus has washed us clean? Oh, how good. How good that our God forgets. I mean, we carry the consequence of the sin because we remember it. But God, see of forgetfulness. Yes, separates it from us. Your Father cares. It's not about the length of prayer, it's about the prayer. Enjoy talking to Jesus. When life gets uncertain, don't struggle on. It's the Aussie way, Joe. Well, it's not the kingdom way. Yeah? Because there's a way of the word, but there's a way that the world also offers us. Run to the Father. Help. Help. If you can do it by the blood, sweat, and tears of your brow, work is important, but you are doing something that you can achieve. The God call on your life needs God. Help. Help. You know, the Holy Spirit is called our helper. That's why Jesus sent him, to help us be a witness, to help us stay on the right track, to help. He's called the helper. I'll send you the one you need. He will help you. You know who else is called helper? Our wives. It's not good that man is alone. So I will take, I will make, I will create for him a helper. Husbands, we need our wives. We have to listen to them. We can't do it without them. We need them. They have something we don't have. Our equal partners in life. Husbands, let your wives help you. And wives, help your husbands to let them help you. Yeah. Come on, before the fall, think about this. Before the fall, before sin, God, the creator, who created it all, every day he said, and it is good. And it is good, and it is good. But there was one thing that he said was not good. Before the fall, before sin, God decided that man was in lack. There was a deficit, even though he had relationship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He had relationship with our Creator. But God said, it is not good that man is alone. Everything else is good. So I will take and I will create and I will make him a helper. This is a God design. We're meant to work together to help each other. You are designed perfectly to help each other. Familiarity always begins to overrule intimacy, and it begins to ruin it and erode it. Like if you get too familiar with your boss, it's going to be a struggle at some point. If you get too familiar with a mentor in your life, mentors and mentees, well, it's the same that it can creep into our relationships between husbands and wives. We can get so familiar that we can start to forget what we actually have, the gift that God has given us. Maybe you've started treating your husband or your wife worse than you would treat a colleague. Maybe you've started treating them worse than you would even treat a stranger because you've allowed familiarity to creep into your relationship. That's not good. This is my encouragement to you. Date him again. Come on, remind yourself. You said, I do. You said, I will. Remind yourself, just like Jesus reminds us in the book of Revelation. He comes to church and he's like, man, you guys are doing an awesome thing. You're doing so much for the community. You're doing all these amazing things. And like, you're known and you've made me famous and you've brought me glory. But there's one thing that I have against you. You've lost your first love. Come back to your first love. Me, relationship with me. Talk to me. Spend time with me. And it's the same in our relationship with our spouse. Come back to your first love. Remind yourself. The modern challenge, busyness, distraction, shallow spiritual habits. Why are we satisfied with so little? Come on, we serve a God that can do miracles, and we should be doing miracle-working things. Could it be that maybe the plan of the enemy in your life is to keep you from seeing miracles? Maybe he doesn't want you to know the power you carry, because then you would start impacting his kingdom. Don't harbor offense. Don't hold on to hurt. Don't give in to the temptation to begin serving yourself. No, serve and be served. Love and be loved. This is the way of the kingdom. And Jesus suffixes the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, with forgiveness. It's a teaching all through Jesus' ministry. And here again, unforgiveness is central in the teaching of Jesus. Comes up all the time. Even on the cross, he's like, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. In this sermon, mercy, reconciliation, loving enemies, judging others, and then here at the end of the Lord's Prayer, this is an important topic to Jesus. Remember, he is setting us up to have a stormproof life. He's setting us up with a way that is contrary to the way of the flesh, the way of the world. You know what unforgiveness produces in our life? Torment and inner turmoil. We're carrying something we shouldn't be carrying. That's not freedom. Can I have the box, please, Jack? You see, that story of the prodigal son, it's an awesome story. Like Jesus is using that story to illustrate, to portray the heart of the Father. And I love it. Because the son decides that he can't wait for dad to die, so he just wants his inheritance and gets it, and off he goes. And he starts to live his own way, goes his own way, lives a life, and comes to a point where he realizes that it's not good. But unfortunately, he's engaged in some stuff and done some stuff, and he's certainly hurt some people, and he's certainly hurt himself. And he's now filled with shame. And he comes back to the Father because he's like, well, maybe I could just be a servant. Like, there's no way I could be a son. But maybe I could be a servant in my Father's home. Surely, like, I could just serve him. Like, I owe him so much. Like, I could just work for him. And so he comes back, and I love this part. Like, the Father sees him from a long way off and runs to him. Runs to him. You know what that tells me? That the Father wanted him to come back. Like, the Father was waiting. Like, there was expectation. There was hope. There was deep desire for his son to come home. Like, he was waiting. He was watching. He was looking. Could have been any day. Maybe it wasn't going to be any day. But I love that Jesus portrays the Father as someone with the heart that wants us. No matter what we've done to him, No matter what we do to ourselves or to others, God wants us. And so the son comes back and he's got an opportunity. He's got a decision to make, and he comes with an apology, and he's carrying a whole bunch of stuff. And it's stuff that we're not meant to carry. Like, God has forgiven us. It's really hard to forgive ourselves. We know what we do. We know what we've done. There's things we wish we'd never done. We carry these things. But it's really hard to do. I mean, it's like, this almost makes me feel like 9 months. It's like, I don't know, maybe that's why you're not allowed to drive when you're that close to giving birth. It's not good to carry stuff that we shouldn't be carrying. We hurt ourselves, we hurt each other, we hurt others, other people hurt us. And we carry these issues. It's not just shame, it's the things of life. But we pick up what God has asked us to put down. Like the things that he's pinned to the cross. He's crucified. We're not meant to carry that stuff. Because we tie ourselves to it. And it's not freedom. Come on, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Forgiving yourself is a very good place to start. Because if God has forgiven you, and you can extend that forgiveness to oneself, it will set you up to be able to forgive those who have hurt you, to those who have wronged you. You cannot turn back time. What's been done cannot be undone. But you can, by letting it go, you can live a future in freedom. You've got to trust God that he will take care of it. He will take care of you. He will take care of them. God is the righteous judge. We will stand before him. So you don't need to pass judgment. He will. If he has forgiven us, Jesus says we must forgive those around us. Otherwise, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. Why? Because it's the whole ministry of Jesus. It's the reason he came. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's literally why he came, to forgive us of all wrongdoing, sin dealt with. We get to go to heaven purely through relationship with Jesus, not because of anything we have done, the good or the bad. That stuff doesn't determine salvation. Rewards, different thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus is explaining to us, forgive, because it's good for you. Unforgiveness never helps. It's time to let go. Jesus then gives us a brilliant antidote to the love of self. Have a look at this. Verses 16, 17, and 18. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and dishevelled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, and then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you are doing in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Jesus disciples us, dismantles visible piety, religious performance, lifestyle for the sake of others to see it. And he goes, it's not about that. It's about personal relationship with me. When you stop eating, you get hungry. If you keep not eating, your body will enter into decay and it will eventually die. It is the same for our spirit. If we do not feed our spirit, if our spirit is fasting, maybe there's some good fasting that you can do. Maybe engage in some social media fasting, like give your eyes to Jesus. Change the algorithm of your gaze, yeah? Come on, your Father cares. If you fast food, you'll die. It's the same for your spirit. There's purpose in fasting. What you lose in physical weight from fasting will be gained in spiritual weight. That's a good one. Your Father cares. He's inviting us on a way to grow ourselves. Because when we grow our spirit, we're stronger. We're better. We grow the fruit of the Spirit. Those fruit just grow by default. Jesus goes on. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Jesus gives us three things here: treasure, vision, the eye, and master. Where you invest determines your heart. What you're putting in is going to captivate your heart. What you're chasing after, what you're pursuing, it will captivate your heart. Where you invest, your eye, what you focus on, shapes your inner life. What you fix your eyes on will shape your inner life. And divided loyalty, well, that creates instability. We cannot serve God and money. Your father cares. Kingdom investments. We will have a new heaven and a new earth, Jesus says, and we will be rewarded. So what you are doing now can produce you rewards that you will get to keep forever. Like that really fancy car that you've got, like if you put people in it and you bring them to church, cha-ching, eternal rewards. How good? Yeah? Like that home that you love, that, you know, you're working up, you own or you're paying off and maybe doing a little bit of reno work or something. And can I encourage you, when you start that life group and you open your home and you bless people after church and bring them over for a meal, cha-ching, like eternal rewards. Yeah, baby. Like when you create a space in your home where you open the word and you pray and you're looking after your kids and you're raising them up in the ways of the Lord, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What you're doing is you're setting up a home base of operations for the ministry that's on your family's life, and they're going out and they're doing what God's called them to do. Your home is reaping you eternal rewards. You got it. Cha-ching. That stuff you get to keep forever. The contrary is, it actually is just a big pile of ash. Because the Bible says that a fire is going to come through this time and it's going to do away with it all. So if there's something in this time that is only for this time, like we get to keep our soul. Is there anything worth more than your soul? That's what Jesus said. And anything that we have stored up in heaven, treasures in heaven. Jesus is setting us up for something and is about to get after something that's not good for us. Because those things will last and the fire comes through. And anything that didn't reap you eternal rewards and everything regardless, it's going to burn. It's a big pile of ash. So what are we chasing after? What's robbing us of sleep? What's ruining our time? Like, what are you opening more, your Bible app or your bank app? Because where your heart is, what you're pursuing, come on, that's the treasure that we're desiring. Jesus goes on, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you will have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. There is a central thought here that Jesus presents to us, and it's quite phenomenal because he says, you will either serve mammon or you will serve God. You will serve money or you will serve God. I find it interesting, out of all the Roman gods that there were and all the Greek gods and all the pagan gods, Jesus chose to only get after one of them, mammon. Mammon is poorly translated money. It's more than just money. What mammonus, the Greek and Aramaic, actually means is it means wealth that produces possessions, property, income, and it tempts you to trust it. So instead of trusting your provider, you put your trust in money, the ability to create income. And what it does is it says, you need me. You have to have it. It gets after our identity, our security. It tempts us to put our trust in it. If we don't have it, we're not going to make it. No. None of that is true. And that's what Jesus is saying. And he's getting after this thing that robs people out of relationship with their provider. He gets after this temptation, this God of mammon that says, you can trust me. Come on, put your trust in me. Come on, you need me. And it never ends good. To go and put it on the same level, deifying it like a deity, like Jesus going, it's either going to be God or mammon. And what Jesus is getting after is he's introducing us to freedom. Because the world says we're chasing after financial security. But it also tries to promote financial freedom. Well, you can walk out today financially free. Pastor Joe, it's a bit much. Well, the way of the world portrays financial freedom in one light, and that's to put your trust in money to produce your freedom. But Jesus puts it on offer today to be financially free. That it's not money that provides for you, it's him. And he'll do a much better job of providing for you. That's the offer of the way, to live in freedom. At the start of this part of the sermon, a pastoral, comforting, deeply rich moment in his sermon, he's saying, hey, be free of the stuff that's restricting you. Be free of the stuff that's holding you back. Come on, I want relationship. I want you to freely talk to me, to enjoy spending time with me, to enjoy hanging out with me. And don't hold on to the stuff that's not good for you. And then he finishes with freedom from the construct of the world. Freedom, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. There is a freedom that God has for us. We are kingdom people. Do not worry. Anxiety reveals where we've placed our security. You don't worry if you believe God's got it. God's got it. Well, does he? Well, he either does or he doesn't. Anxiety does not solve problems. It steals life. Jesus has come to give us life and give us abundant life. Jesus moves us towards freedom, intentionally shifting our perspective. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. Like, the bird still has to leave the nest to get the food, but God provides the food. We can't sit at home. We've got to work. We were meant to work even before sin entered the fall. Adam was given a job. We have to work if we want our income. But it's God that provides the income. He addresses the root of the issue. These thoughts dominate the thoughts of an unbeliever. What's got you? Has God got you or has money got you? Your Father cares. Jesus' discipleship, you don't have to worry. Don't bother worrying. You don't need to worry. That's the offer of Jesus for us. Look at creation. Remember the Father. See the kingdom first. Tomorrow has its own weight. Bring today's burden to the Father. Your Father cares. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet, and can I get the keys to come back, please? Thank you, Christella. Come on, the storms of life, they come. The enemy brings storms against us. There's the storms of life just because of the reality of the fall. We engage in things that become storms. Some storms are imposed on us by others. What Jesus is saying is you can live free of this. There's freedom when you grab him by the hand and do life his way. It's more enjoyable. It's light and easy, the yoke that Christ has for you and I. He invites us onto the way to be free of the temptation of placing our trust in stuff. Because he deeply cares about your soul. Cares about what it goes through. Cares about what it's going through, what it's going to go through, what it's been through. He deeply cares. He loves you. This is the invitation to relationship with Jesus. He invites us to follow him, to do life with him. If you want to weather the storms of life, we follow Jesus. Prayer and forgiveness, freedom. Money and possessions, freedom. That's why Jesus didn't just teach this. He came to give it to us. He came to make a way. To make a way to reconcile man back to the Father. It's why he went to the cross. Made from a tree that he created. Dying for the people that he created. Why? Because he is so for us. This is the way to live life. Implementing the way. And when you do, you get the reward of the blessed life. Life and life abundant. It's only found when we do it the way Jesus says to do it. And when we start to live contrary, we create another way. And when we step into the role of the Creator, it never produces good. Come back to God. Step into His way. Follow Jesus. Implement. Give it a go. Money? Out of all the things, that's what Jesus chose to get after. Because it ruins us. And so Jesus says, out of all the things in the whole Bible, one thing you can test him in, money. If you struggle, if it's got a hold, the Bible says to give a portion, 10% tithe back to God of what he has blessed you with. You don't have to. It's free will. You can. You get to. And if you do, there's a reward that's attached to it. There's a promise. See what I will do. Won't I pour out a blessing so great you will not be able to contain it? You know what that says to me? More than enough. Why? Because it's not about us. Come on, we're blessed to bless. Because it's not about the blessing. It's about the one who gives the blessing. It's not about the stuff. It's about the souls. And so test him and watch. I promise you, you give to God. You know what the tithe does? It keeps the church alive. Makes this place run. It's literally how this place runs. We all chip in a little bit each week and it covers everything. It makes it work. And the generosity to be able to bless the world, the community around us, that we can represent Jesus to the world around us well. I encourage you, give it a go. I promise you, you watch what God does. He's a much better giver than us. Come on, freedom. Come on, would you close your eyes? This morning, come on, he is in the room. Jesus is right here, right now, and two or three gather. Come on, if there's something that you know this morning that you're struggling with, I want to encourage you right now, give it to God. Come on, start to think of things that you're struggling with, things that cause you to worry, things that make you anxious, maybe the issues of the war at the moment in our world. We need to pray for our world, to pray for world peace, to pray for people, to pray for humanity, to pray for souls. We come to God and we pray. We talk to Him. Why? Because He can do something about it. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you need an answer, something that's a real deal. Or maybe today, God's saying, come on, let that go. Come on, let it go. I've got a future for you. Come on, let that go. That's not good for you. Come on, maybe you've hurt yourself. Maybe you've hurt someone else. Maybe you've done something that someone else has taken offense to. Maybe you're carrying offense. Come on, let it go. Freedom today. Freedom. Putting it down, this box of shame and regret and issues and hurt. Doesn't say that it was right. It doesn't condone it. But it just doesn't need to be a part of your story anymore. It doesn't need to define your future. So Heavenly Father, today, right now, we come to You, our helper, and we humbly ask for help. Holy Spirit, would You help us to let go of the things that are hurting us? Holy Spirit, would You help us to receive from You the help we need today to do what You've called us to do? God, would You set us free? Right now, we just declare freedom over our minds and freedom over our bodies. Come on, we plead the blood of Jesus right now. And we declare the blood of Jesus over our minds. Freedom from the attacks of the enemy. Freedom over death. Freedom over issues. Lord, if there is physical ailments because of issues that we've been carrying, God, I pray right now that You would set us free in Jesus' name. Oh, Heavenly Father, right now, miracles in people's bodies, we pray in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, help us to let go, to step into freedom. Holy Spirit, would You help us to trust in our Father who cares? Oh, Holy Spirit. God, I thank You for sending Your Son. Jesus, I thank You sent the Holy Spirit. We need You to do what You've called us to do. We want to do what You've called us to do. Jesus, I pray that we would know Your freedom. Today, Lord, help us to desire it, to want it, to live in it, the freedom that You have won for us. In Jesus' name, Lord, over this place, freedom. In Jesus' name, freedom in our lives, freedom in our minds. In Jesus' name, Lord, freedom in our homes. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, when life looks uncertain, run to the Father. When you start struggling with something, come on, run to the Father. He loves you. You mean so much to Him, church. The cross is that proof. Come on, He so loves you. He's behind you. He's championing you. Do what you've been called to do. Be the leader in your industry. Come on, lead your homes. Come on, lead your community. It's who we are. Come on, if you're a Christian in this place, would you just close your eyes just for a moment? Because I want to give an opportunity to someone here in the room. If you're here and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you're here and you know, man, I've walked away, can I encourage you? Come back to God. He so loves you. He so wants you. If you've never done that, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, can I encourage you? Come on, almost 2.6 billion Christians on planet Earth right now. Give Him a go. Come on, your fingerprint, your DNA, you're the only you. There's no one else like you. God made sure of that. And there's a plan on your life that He wants to be a part of. And so if that's you today, I want you to choose Him. Say, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to become a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. Say, yeah. Come on, choose Jesus by raising your hand. Awesome. So good. Praise God. Come on, anyone else? Wants to join this young lady. Anyone else? Come on, He's so for you. Give Him a go. Give Him a go. Is there anyone else here? I'm going to look across the room one more time. Encourage you, be bold, be brave. Come on, raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Come on, can we celebrate that person that has given their life to Jesus today? So good. Come on, let's pray a prayer. Come on, Christians, pray it out loud and proud. And if you put your hand, I want you to pray this with conviction in your heart today. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me, for choosing me. Today I choose you, and I choose you tomorrow and forevermore. I give you my life. Make it the best it can be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate that person one more time? It's awesome.